We are so blessed to have Jonathan with us today. Just going to share a few things about himself. I'm going to pray for you.
Thank you.
So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for Jonathan. We thank you for all that he is, all that he does for you. And I just pray now that you will bless him, that you'll speak through him, and that we may learn more about you through what he says. Just bless him now. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. From that, just on the first slide, I don't know if you can read it. When I was 14 at school, we had to do in English one of those kind of crazy exercises where everybody had to think of one phrase that would describe somebody in the room. And by saying that phrase, everybody else had to guess who it was. And the person, obviously, who was most concise and everybody got, then kind of won the prize, as it were. Well, Craig Litster, a friend of mine, got up and said, "This person knows a bit about everything, but really not a lot about anything." Everybody pointed at me. So, and he won. So, yeah, unfortunately, that's kind of something that's kind of lived throughout my life, this kind of having an ability to kind of continue a conversation with most people, but I don't really know what on earth I'm talking about. So, anyway, as a kickoff then, this afternoon, I shared with some people at church recently a conversation that I had in my office. I had some Jehovah's Witnesses come up to Manor Farm, where my office is, John's Farm, and they came in, and there was a kind of murmurs around the office that I ought to go and chat to them. So I went out to reception and I sat them down, and we had a bit of a chat about things. And I decided that it wasn't really helpful to get into some theological debate about Jehovah's Witnesses and what they believe. But what I challenged them with was, what has God done in your life recently? What has he done? And there was a silence. They had nothing to say. They had nothing to bring. And I am blessed because I do. And I thought to just do a little run through perhaps some of the things that have gone on in my life over the years, I would use that as the template to talk about those things that God's done, you know, those things where he's intervened, spoken into my life and blessed me so much. So the way that we'll just run through is on these kind of three steps, as it were, a present God, a God who's been so present in so many times in my life, which has changed situations, a God who's been active, humbly. He's done some amazing things, and I've just been really the person who has stood closest to what he was doing, which was amazing experiences. But also the blessing that he's been over my life, the things that he's done, and the people that he's brought into my life, into my path, that have transformed my life. So, as we start, being very high tech with my video and audio skills, I couldn't organise putting music on this. I thought I'd just talk to start with about an event that happened in 1989, and my brother, who had two young children, a young family, was diagnosed with leukemia at a very late stage. He was 30 years old, and they really didn't think that he would be likely to survive the leukemia. Because of the kind of the panic that went on and all the things that had to be organised, he lived in Bristol, I found myself having to drive to North Devon that night to take people from his house so his wife could deal with dealing with him in hospital. He did survive, I would happen to add. But all those things had to be done. And I found myself driving across Exmoor, coming back home after delivering people to Biddeford, at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was thinking, God, where are you in this? You know, he had a young family, my brother, and it looked pretty bleak. It really did. And I kind of just, you got to that pause and thinking, okay, I've asked God and I've spoken to him. And so I turned the radio on, and the first thing I heard was this. Oh, so I've messed that up. Oh, it's got into an advert. I can't believe that. What it is this song, actually. Okay, I won't go into it. It's this song, I'll Be There. Now, I've never thought of the Jacksons as being a kind of evangelical sort of gospel band, and they're not. But those first words I heard were, I will be there to comfort you. I'll be there with a love that is strong. I'll be your strength, just keep holding on. You know, I'll be there, just call out my name and I'll be there. Wow. You know, that's a life changer. And it's something I hold into this day, you know, in that moment of thinking, where is this? But God was there and he was ahead of me and he'd already done the playlist on a radio station. And that's been a story in my life. You know, God has been so good and he's been so blessed me by giving me opportunities, putting things in my path, giving me times when, which most people sadly don't get the privilege of. I think there's one recent kind of incident where my mum used to come here, and lots of you knew Pam Cooper, didn't you? And she loved coming here, you know. She was quite a sprightly old girl, my mum. And 18 months, well, in January of last year, she died. She died so well. She was really so blessed that I think in her whole life she'd been ill for 2 weeks, and that was the last 2 weeks of her life. And even then, she wasn't really that ill, and nobody, all the medics said, she's not dying, really, she's not. But she was saying, yes, I am, and we believed her. But I was able, you know, and this is what God has done in my life that's been so powerful, is the night before she died, I sat with her, and she was completely complimentous, and we had an in-depth discussion, even into the theology of what happens when you die. And she was saying, oh, I'm just looking forward to it, you know. I know that my Redeemer lives, you know. And we were saying, you know, would it be that Jesus comes to her with those words, well done, good and faithful servant, or would it be something different? What would it be? And what a lovely time to kind of chew those things over. And the next morning she didn't wake up. And that was, you know, a powerful and a lovely thing and a lovely memory for me, perhaps more than anyone, to have had that sort of special conversation with her. And I think this thing of that connection where God is speaking into my life and I feel him with me and he moves closely with me at times has been something that's been with me for all of my years I can remember. I'm just going to hand something around, off onto a tangent. My dad, during the Second World War, was in the Middle East. And like a lot of British servicemen, they brought home kind of little souvenirs, as it were, from their travels. Now, I'm not sure whether my dad was just a bit of a mug and got conned by a street seller. He would have always claimed not. But that, he always told me, was from the ruins of the temple, Herod's temple in Jerusalem. As with a lot of, now whether he should have taken it out of the country, I don't know. But he did. And what I remember from the age of seven, see, I went to a convent school, which was kind of good and bad in different ways, but you did learn some biblical principles which were very powerful. And I remember the story of the woman who was hemorrhaging, and she touched Jesus' cloak, you know, and she was healed. Now, I remember as a boy of, I would say I was five or six, I think. I would argue it's probably even five. I used to sneak to the cabinet where those fragments were. If I was troubled, I could touch that because Jesus may have actually walked on there. And that changed me, you know, because he was been there. And he honoured me, and he's always honoured me. Like the fool that I am, you know, he's just honoured me through my life that where I have reached out, he has been there through difficulties with business, big issues with business sometimes trivial issues. But, you know, he's consistently been there. I just have to call out, reach out. And I don't always get the answer I want or in the time frame I want, but my goodness, he does. He's a faithful God, you know. So not just present, he was also, has also been an active God. At moments when I just don't expect him to be, he's caught me off guard on a number of occasions and with breathtaking impact. I mean, once there was, I was a fairly badly behaved student, as a lot of us are, students were in London, and I had a mate who was my drinking partner. We used to go around to pubs together. We were great mates and lovely bloke. We always used to get into a bit of a tussle about theology, and because I've always had my faith, you know, and it's always been there, and we used to kind of argue about things. And Chris was a lovely man, quite unusual in that he was really, really lovely man. He loved everybody, apart from, bizarrely, Indian people. I don't know why, but he didn't like Indian people. But anyway, I'll come back to that in a minute. But having lived with, shared a flat with him and spent a lot of my student years with him, and we've been together kind of as mates for about 3 years, we went to our normal sort of Saturday night, a few beers in South London, as you do. And unlike he'd never been before, he nearly got us into a fight in a pub. It was just not like Chris. Absolutely weird. And so we got back to where we were living and we had a coffee and a bit of a chat. Then all of a sudden, he hit the floor like I've never seen anybody go down, and he gave his life to Jesus on the spot. I was staggered because I had no... I mean, this was not me being... I was literally a bystander to this. I did kind of occasionally get involved with the church, but not really. And all of a sudden, God just moved. It kicked me up, the proverbial. I tell you, I had to kind of get to involved with the church. In fact, I used to take him to All Souls in Langham Place in London, who were brilliant with him. And by the great will of God, who does always the most amazing things, within 18 months, he was on the mission field in India, where he met his wife and came to love Indian people like no one else. I thought, what a great, great thing that was. And he's a dear, dear friend of mine. And it was actually in those students. I'll see if I can find another piece of music. So if you sing to yourself for a second, see if I can get it to play this time. Because as a student, I met a few kind of interesting people. And there was another family. I can't find them. Here we go. Let's see if this will play. To wait for the advert, I'm afraid. Who can tell me who this is? Who's that? Anybody know? Thank you. It's a band called Kajagoogoo, who became very good friends of mine. When we first got married, me and Kath had a flat in North London, and we found next door there were these kind of slightly weird people coming in late at night and leaving at stupid times of the day and night, and people hanging around the kind of outside. I didn't know why. And it turned out it was a pop group who were at number one at the time, Kajagoogoo, who, and Stuart, the keyboard player, again, they became good mates, you know. And then one night, him, and he was actually living with a girl at the time, from nowhere, we were just sharing some wine. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning by that point, and it was really good wine because they had loads of cash, and I was a really poor student. But, oh, sorry, that's what they looked like. Funny looking lot. But, yeah, Stuart gave his life, and Kath did, you know, and it, life transformation, and I had to, again, me and Kath had to kind of all of a sudden up our game because God was moving in us and around us. God just does that, and, you know, it is humbling that he would use me in the same way that he uses all of us in this room. He will choose, not because of how good you might be or how eloquent or theologically brilliant. He chooses you because he has a purpose for you and he loves you and he wants to be seen through you. And I, you know, that's a very humbling thing, isn't it? That the God of the universe, who we can sometimes kind of minimize into a friend, is not. He's the God of the universe and he will choose in his amazingness to use me. There's another incident which I just was going to share quickly, which was a particularly poignant one for me, which is much more recent actually. And it surrounds a pub in Wells. And this is a story that, yeah, it kind of blessed me amazingly, where God, again, just was so active in a moment for me and in my life that was such a great moment for me and blessed me. That about 5 years ago, Mike Howell, who's obviously, as you know, in Uganda at the moment, stood down from being the pastor at Welton. And I, as part of the leadership team, was part of a group of people who were dealing with the transition and looking for a new pastor to kind of to lead our church. And we went through a kind of process. We actually had people come and preach with a view. We interviewed some people. But that didn't feel right, and we didn't feel God was in it. And there was a new family who had just come to the church, the Hebditch family, and they lived in on the way to Wedmore and were initially part of a church in Wells. And Matt worked, as many of you know, abroad in the mission field. And I knew Matt a bit. I'd got to know him. We'd had a few chats, but nothing more than that. But one night he phoned me up and he said, I need to meet you. He was flying off to the States the next day, or that evening, actually, I think. But he said, before I go, I just need to have a quick chat. We need just 5 minutes. So I was living around here, near here. And so we decided to meet in Wells for a quick point and chat it through. And as I walk in, I felt God say, he told me why Matt was coming. And I said to him before Matt spoke to me, you're our next pastor, aren't you? And he said, that's what God has just put on my heart. He had no intention of going back into ministry at all. But, you know, for him, that was a game changer too, because he was nervous about that, of even considering it, because it was a complete ground shift. But God's ahead of us again all the time. And it's such a powerful thing to be, again, in that flow of what God is doing. It's a thing that is life-changing. And I think God offers this all to each of us, you know, to have that experience and of life. And it's not always been easy. And there's along the way, like everybody, you know, there's been so many high points, but there's so many things I yearn for that God's going to do through me. I run a company, BJP Consulting Engineers. I've run it for 33 years now, and we're design engineers. Now, my heart has been that my employees would see Jesus in me and be changed, and it doesn't happen. It just hasn't happened. They've been brilliant. I mean, they haven't left. And Lorraine's been with me, 25 years or something crazy. And most of them have been with me more than 15. Anthony, one of them, has made a commitment briefly. He certainly had an encounter with Jesus at the gathering one year. But, you know, my heart goes, I pray over their desks, you know, that God would just speak to them. But it doesn't happen, and it should. You know, why he made Chris fall down, why can't he make one of them fall down? But, and it's hard, you know, when you believe what we believe, and I love those guys, you know, it's hard, because we should do better. And I'm also yearning for, I had a vision some years, about a year or so ago, about this mushroom cloud over Midsomer Norton, of God just going, exploding a ministry, and it's not happening. And I yearn for that, you know, because I know he's going to do something, but I just, perhaps I'm impatient. But let's just go on to the last bit, the blessing of where God's been. But, you know, I've got an amazing family. A lot of you know my family. They're just phenomenal people. I've been so blessed. I mean, I've got Kath, who puts up with me just not being at home very much and being too busy with too many things. And she parented our kids so well, I kind of was a bit of an add-on, really. She was brilliant with them, you know, and nurtured my two girls, who were great. And we kind of gathered people along the way, which was a brilliant thing, including, many of you will remember, a Tuggy, who we kind of adopted as a kind of nearly a son. And we had a real adventure, and God has been so good in bringing my kids to fruition. you know, and he's also put two men in the life of my daughters who have become my sons-in-law, who are two of the most incredible men I have ever met in my life. There's Josh, who many of you know Josh, who is just Josh, and he's had a heart transplant when he was 21, and most of this church were praying for him passionately. And now he's the father of two amazing kids. He's not well, you know, and we may not have Josh that much longer, I don't know. But what a man, you know, what a blessing those years we've had, and I just value them. And I've also got Mark, who's a medic up in Manchester. But the thing that I, you know, I had the blessing to see and to be a part of, and to, when Josh and Abby were married, Mark and Becky were kind of in a relationship, and Mark came down to kind of one Christmas to see us before they were married. And me and Josh and Mark went to the pub. And Mark wasn't a Christian. He's a very bright bloke. He's got a PhD and he's a doctor of medical as well. And he's extremely bright bloke. In fact, very frighteningly bright. And Josh, you know, who has got a intuitive intelligence like I've never met anybody before, but he's not educated, frankly, but he's so analytically brilliant. But I sat in a pub with Josh, a motor mechanic, Mark, a consultant urologist, is what he is, kidney specialist, and Josh wiped the floor with Mark on God. Yeah, you just, you know, it's breathtaking. And within 2 weeks, Mark had just given his life to Jesus, and now he's passionate. Passionate Christian man and a real man of God and principle. But it was just, I just sat back listening to this conversation. Yeah, amazing. Josh is an incredible bloke. Yeah, wonderful people. And then, of course, I come on to the Welton years again as part of the blessing in my life, you know. And I was thinking about this as I was driving over, because I've been around here now for quite a few years, not as long as a lot of you, to be fair, a lot of you. But I mean, how God has made me grow up and shown me things. But more than anything, he's put people in my path. And he's put people in the path of my children that have changed them. You know, he's put a John and Mary in front of in their path. This is truth. This, you know, and Angela, they talk of Angela, the crazy lady with the passion. They loved her. You know, there's so many of you in this room. Thank you for being there for my kids. Oh, Brenda, you know, Abby talks about you guys because you matter to them. You were part of their story. You made a difference. You really, really did. And Wes, you know, you're in their vocabulary. Wes and Therese, because you are, you know. And that's a richness very few people have. Very few people have that, you know, being able to trust letting your kids go off and sit around with these weird and wonderful people who you know pretty well, but who have just been good witnesses. And Pete and Jill as well, you know, you've always been there in leading and just the example of what is honourable leadership, what is honourable and a good role model for your kids to see. So thank you, all of you, and all the ones I've forgotten to say thank you to. But yeah, you're real, yeah, a real privilege to have walked through life with a bunch of really inspirational people who, it's not been about ego, it's just been a Christ-centered love of Jesus, of this is how our lives change, you know, and this is what makes us the people we were meant to be. So I thought, just as a finish, I'd quickly go back to the beginning. Because isn't it funny, isn't it? It's the things that seem insignificant, perhaps even in the overall story, which was the most powerful. And it was I went to a kind of traditional sort of secondary school where there was a head boy, and he used to read a thing, a sixth former, and he would read a bit of the Bible. People used to, that kind of went out the window. But this guy was a Christian. He was a concert pianist, actually. But he read from a book called Turned Onto Jesus by Arthur Blessett. And that just grabbed me. I don't know why, but it grabbed me in a way that I couldn't let it go. I was 14 or so at that point, and I'd already had a kind of basic faith sitting there, but there was something about this bloke who was just dealing with drug addicts in the States and bringing Christ into their life and transforming them. So I ended up rocking up to this weird little Baptist church in Appledore, of all places. Appledore's a strange place, where it was then. But Frank and Sue Hutton actually are part of that church these days, which is kind of interesting connection. I ought to go back there, see if my name's still kind of scrawled in the back of wherever I scrawled it. But, you know, God takes those moments, doesn't he, of seemingly insignificant, and he grows things from it, and he's grown some things through my life through all sorts of good, bad, and different moments when I've just been totally out there and not really connected at all. But he's pulled me back, and I know that, you know, with just calling out his name, that's all you've got to do, and it'll come. He's there. He's waiting. God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah.